Good morning, 8 or 9 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Every Monday at this time, we connect with Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, it's my fault. I had totally meant to talk with you about this last week. And before we get to all the news, and there was plenty to get to this week in law enforcement, I wanted to get your opinion on this whole MSTU issue in Santa Rosa County. The county voted to basically fund the long-existing, pre-existing MSTU for law enforcement with $2 million of county tax money, which is going to go directly to you guys. And the only weird thing about that is that then you had Milton opt out. Well, I mean, they're opted out by default because they're a municipality. And Gulf Breeze also opt out. They both did it slightly differently. You know, one raised no taxes internally. Milton raised $1 million of taxes internally. But from your point of view, neither one matters, except that it's, I think, about a $5 million revenue loss to the county because City of Milton and City of Gulf Breeze residents are no longer going to, are not going to be paying into that MSTU. And I just wanted to ask, like, did people talk with you about this? Did they ask you your opinion? Did you talk to the county? And does this matter for your budget? Or, I mean, I just want to know, because you're going to be doing policing in the city still. You're obligated by statute to do it. And I had not heard the sheriff's perspective on this.
Yeah, it's disappointing that they opted out, you know, but there's nothing we can do or the county can do to force them into going with the MSTU. So it is what it is. And as for asking me about it, the county did call a meeting. I sat in with the county administrator and we discussed it. And the MSTU is going to be only for law enforcement. So regular ad valorem will still be paying for all corrections and all the courthouse and all the civilian staff. So this MSTU is just for the law enforcement side of the house.
So if it's $5 million, if I'm wrong about that number, tell me, your budget's not going to change just because people aren't funding the MSTU. I assume the county is still going to pay you what they're going to pay you. And so,
yes. You
know, no change really from your point of view, right?
Right. Other than the fact that if I want to hire new deputies or anything like that, I have to raise the millage, which, you know, is something obviously I don't want to do.
Okay.
But it is what it is. If I need more deputies, that's what I have to do. And of course, as I've told you before on the program, we need more deputies. I mean, we're at like 1.1 per thousand. And I think the state average is like 2.8 per thousand. So we're not even halfway. So I don't know what the future holds. I mean, this is something new for me as well. I mean, I've never had to deal with an MSTU until now. So we're going to have to see how it plays out.
Okay. And I mean, here in Escambia County, we have one. It's about 3/4 of a mil in the county. So, you know, it's not unprecedented in the area. But last kind of question on this is, I know legally you guys are going to do what you're supposed to do in the city, but does it create a weird... I don't know. It seems weird. Like, we're not going to fund you, but you're supposed to still do everything you're supposed to do in the city, in the cities.
Yeah. And then, you know, to put it bluntly, that's the way it is. They know that we're forced by statute to, you know, go into the cities and do the stuff we need to do. So that's why they opted out, I guess, because they know there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I wanted to know, because I had wanted to talk to you about it and wanted to hear your perspective. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Turning now to law enforcement matters, we had a homicide, which is relatively rare, on Pinto Avenue, right?
Yeah. From Okaloosa County. And let me preface that.
I'm sorry. We lost you there for just a second. Can you start over? The phone sketched out on us.
Yeah. It was a sergeant for the corrections division over in Okaloosa County. And I'll preface that by saying the sheriff does not run the jail there. That's run by the Board of County Commissioners. So he's not really what you'd call a sworn officer. He works for the commission.
Okay.
And he, his, I guess, live-in roommate got in an argument over something. We don't know exactly what yet, but ended up shooting her 3 times and killing her.
And so, okay, so that was Barbara Dietert, who's the deceased, age 41. Curtis Johnson, the 47-year-old who you've arrested for the homicide, he's a CO in Okaloosa County?
Sergeant, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, domestic things happen all the time, but anything else that we know about this or any, I mean, you know, you've got evidence, you've got a confession, no confession, can't say. Sheriff.
On a, yeah, can you hear me?
I can. It keeps, every time you answer me, it takes a second. I'm not quite sure why. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, he is currently in our jail with no bond on second-degree murder charges. So, okay. And that could get upgraded by the state attorney. They could bring it up to first after looking at all the evidence. So, but right now, that's what he's in jail on.
Okay. And second versus first is primarily a matter of premeditation and then yes. aggravating factors for whether the death penalty would be on the table or not on the table. Do I have that roughly right? That's correct. Okay. Sheriff, you guys also were involved in the investigation into the teacher in Gulf Breeze who has been alleged to have been involved in some kind of a romantic relationship with phones and all that. Is there any part of this case that you can elaborate on for us or maybe your role in it? Because it seems like it started with Chief Hawthorne and the Gulf Breeze police and then it kind of migrated to you guys. Is that right?
Yeah. We basically took it over and made the investigation, made the arrest. So, yeah, and it's just the only thing I can really comment is on what's already been put out. We do have phone information and things of that nature that definitely link them together. So,
okay. All right. And I know, you know, Chief Deputy Tifted put out some information on this as well. Another case that we've been reporting on this morning is Matthew McChesney, who's now been arrested from out of state on a warrant related to child pornography, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, we get enough of this. This is, I mean, it's sickening, the child porn that goes on, but it just seems for a county of our size, you know, 220,000 people, we have an awful lot of it here, and we make arrests pretty much every single day on child porn charges, whether it be out of state or in state or our charges or whatever. It just seems, excuse me, that we have an inordinate number of them in our county for some reason. And it's kind of disgusting, but
yeah. I know the Justice Department had shut down a dark web site that they said had 120,000 visitors. When something like that happens, is there a way for you guys to see whether there's a decrease in traffic, decrease in behavior, or is it just a drop in the bucket because there's so much of this out there that people are consuming?
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket. And literally, it's probably not even a drop in the bucket, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's how prolific it is. It's just there are so many millions and millions of images out there, and they're being traded, downloaded, sold, and it's just, it's horrific. And it's, you know, we try to do as much as we can, but if we focused 100 officers on that a day, we could make, I don't know how many arrests, but they could do that for a living all year long and just arrest people. That's how bad it is.
Man, it's so discouraging because I know that whenever you go to do the stings on trafficking or people looking for minors or this, it's just, you never come up empty. It's so frustrating. 911 service is back on for the county last night, I think. Verizon came back online. Is that right?
Yep. It came back online. And that happens every now and then, especially with storms coming through.
Yeah.
It'll go out, but we're pretty blessed. Verizon and AT&T, we use both of them. They, if one goes down, we can use another, but they are really good about, they know how important it is to get us back up and running immediately. So we're pretty blessed in that area.
One of the other cases, you've got a bunch of HVAC thefts on Bluebell. Is it construction sites? Is that what this is?
Yeah, it's construction sites. And I tell you what, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's weird. It kind of goes with the economy. When times are getting a little rough, you know, thefts go up. And when it comes to construction thefts, man, oh, man, we've been getting hit hard lately. And it's not just HVACs. They're taking all kinds of stuff. But so I would say this, you know, we're upping all our patrols in, you know, when you see a subdivision being put in, we're upping our patrols at night in there, and sooner or later we'll get these people. But yeah, they're pretty prolific right now.
I assume you guys go to the secondary market. I'm sure you go to the pawn shops, but also like scrap metal and things like that. I mean, all the places where people would sell this kind of stuff, you're on the lookout.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times what they do is they'll hit us. They'll be from Alabama, and they'll hit us, and then they'll go back to wherever, Birmingham or whatever, and sell it there, and which makes it pretty difficult because a lot of times they don't have the serial numbers and stuff, so we can't even put them in the computer. So that's what makes it even more difficult catching them.
Is this an opportunity for better interagency national cooperation on something like that? I mean, you know, I talk to Jimmy Petronis all the time. Is this, I mean, you do too. I mean, is this something where we could, where the feds could really help clamp down on the interstate trafficking of stolen merchandise like that if there were some kind of a, I don't know, nationwide database? I mean, you know, I'm just thinking out loud, but is there anything like that that doesn't exist now that could exist?
Yeah, I think we got that covered. But the problem we have now is the federal government, as you know, has their interests in other areas right now.
Yeah.
And they're pulling from all the other agencies. So if people say, well, ICE is doing everything, well, you know, they're doing a lot. But so is FBI and Marshal Service. And, I mean, they're pulling from everywhere to get this ranked up. And
okay, so we're losing staff because they're being drawn for other purposes and funding also.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And that was one thing if I wanted to tell you. You know, ICE, we became a 207G, which 287G, which basically means some of our deputies can serve warrants for the ICE federal warrants.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go through a program, and then they can serve warrants. And we've got 30-something. I sent out an email to these guys saying, come work for us. Work for an agency with integrity, and we'll pay you $50,000 bonus. That's what they did. Sent it to all the deputies, 287 qualified in the state of Florida.
So they used it as a recruiting tool for them.
Yes. After we stepped up and said, we will help you, after they asked for our help.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Wow.
We're here from the government and we're here to help.
We're here from the government. Yeah. We're here to bribe you and poach your employees. Wow, that sucks. Okay. All right. I don't know what else to say about that.
Oh, yeah. That's
last news note is your deputies were at a structure fire and before fire got there and rushed in to help some people. Is that right?
Yeah. And we get to first because, you know, they have to gear up and everything. And we're already on the road and sometimes we're right around the corner. So this happens, I won't say regularly, but it happens, you know, a couple of times a year at least. And, I was so proud. Our guys ran right in, didn't wait for fire. New people were in there, went in there, got them out. So, I was very proud of them. One of the deputies had a little smoke inhalation, but he returned to work, so he was good.
Well, that's great. We'd heard one of these stories recently with one of our other agencies. I'm trying to remember where it was, PPD maybe. But, yeah, I mean, like you say, you guys are there faster immediately, and unfortunately, you don't have all the equipment, but, you know, you got to save lives. You got to save lives.
Yeah.
Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Sounds good.